see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the machine, as Pink Floyd says. That's exactly what it is. Now, I wanted to mention some things. It's very interesting. I got some emails this morning. More than usual. And I answered as many as I could. And nobody wrote about the vaccine thing. The vaccine thing being Rudolf Steiner. Somebody had sent me this. One of our dear sisters sent me this. And it was about Rudolf Steiner. And how he was talking back in 1917 about vaccinations that would spiritually kill you. I talked about this right at the end of the fireside chat, number 68. This makes me wonder, are you listening to the whole show, or maybe you just weren't shocked by it? I have to say that I'm shocked by it. What was said there. It's just absolutely remarkable how crazy this world is, how demonic this world is. Not only that, but what I did was I put it on my blog. When you go to my site and you see blog up in the menu, you just go up there and you touch on it and you'll see a menu that comes up and you just left click on blog. You don't even have to, you don't have to go anywhere in the menu. You just left-click on blog. The first thing that'll come up, and now you can find it that way, or you can just go to the front page. There's some new articles there and things that are very important. And you'll come to it. In the article also that was in the email was something about killing the, it's a thing from the military or whatever. It was some kind of a Pentagon briefing. And it was about removing the God gene, which relates to what this fellow is saying, this Freemason. I recognized him right away. Rudolf Steiner is a Freemason and many other things. None of them good. Steiner, Stoner, you know what I mean? Spells his name with an F instead of PF. Like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think, is with a PF, right? Very interesting. When you read this, you will be amazed. And this is how evil the world really is. I mean, what we're reading in this Red Network thing shows how evil the world is too. I mean, these people want to kill, and they're not playing around. They mean it. They want to spiritually kill us. Remember I talked about that in B.F. Jackson, how he talked about that the Jews are born spiritually dead from the womb. This is from 2 Peter. The Jews are spiritually dead, born spiritually dead from the womb, and it is within them to corrupt man and corrupt him utterly. Man meaning they're not man, and the beasts of the field are not men, but they even want to corrupt them too, and have. But you see, they want to destroy us. I told you about Karl Marx's poem about the universe, that he wanted to destroy the whole universe and everything in it. You know, that means the Father too, right? I told you they want to destroy. You know, I told that to people a couple of years ago or 3 years ago or so, and they're like, well, I don't know. That's what Armageddon's all about. They want to kill Yahweh. That's what was going on with Nimrod when they were climbing the tower. They were shooting arrows up into the clouds to try to hit the Father. Can you imagine the level of evil in this world? It's just beyond the imagination. Now, I wanted to read you something which is very interesting, because I'm going to be calling the Jews the border of wickedness, because that's very scriptural. You'll find that out in a minute here. If you wanted to turn with me to Malachi chapter 1, where, of course, you've heard some of this before, but this thing about the border of wickedness, it's amazing. I never really paid attention to it because I was paying attention to the other parts more, and, you know, you'll see what I mean in a minute. So Malachi chapter 1, the burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith Yahweh? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Remember I said this about that Edom in the Talmud is calling Rome Edom? So it's very possible that that is true. Verse 4. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished. Yeah, they sure are, ain't they? But we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And this is the key right here. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh hath indignation forever. You see, if the Father is going to have indignation forever for the Edomites, and Amalek is one of those that came out of Edom, one of Esau's sons, and if he's going to have this indignation forever, how will the Jewish version of Christianity, which is known as Judeo-Christianity, which is a false version of Christianity, it's an abomination to the Father in heaven, period. There is no Jewish Jesus. There is no Jewish Father in heaven. And if he is to have indignation against these Edomite Jews forever, then that must mean that the lie that the Judeo-Christians have been told that the Jews at the last minute are going to repent and be all of them will be saved. Which could be true? What the Father said or what Judeo-Christians have been told? Which would you trust? I mean, that's pretty easy, right? And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh hath indignation forever. And besides, you're not going to tell me that you actually believe that you can live a wicked life, and then when you're laying down and you're on your deathbed, you're just going to repent and be brought right into the kingdom. It just doesn't work that way. Now, it's all up to the Father what happens. If he chooses to do that with somebody, that's his business. But it's just not the real way of things, right? In other words, to repent means you have to live. You have to turn from everything that you did to the best of your ability and live a different way. Well, if you're going to die on your bed, there is no more living. You ran out of time. So no Jew is going to be saved in the first place because the Father has indignation against them forever. See, so it's that simple. I don't need to prove anything. That I just did. And in the sense of I don't need to prove it that they're not going to repent in the end. I just told you the Father has indignation against them forever. What is indignation? Let's look it up just for fun. The wind is a-blowing out there. Indignation, anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. Anger aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. The synonyms of indignation are anger, angriness, bursts, choler, furor, fury, irateness, ire, lividity, lividness, mad, madness, mood, outrage, rage, spleen, wrath, wrathfulness. Okay, so there you have it. And we'll continue. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, Yahweh will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. But if then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein we have despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible. This is why he broke up the priesthood. Because the Jews kept getting in the priesthood, you see, and they polluted the priesthood. Just like the northern 10 tribes would put people in as priests that weren't qualified. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith Yahweh of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech Yahweh, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith Yahweh of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing, for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for nothing, for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith Yahweh of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I think he's pretty happy with the priests, From the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the nations. It says Gentiles. here we go again. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith Yahweh of hosts. Well, isn't it funny that the world doesn't know the Father's name? Because the Jews put the Jew priests, so-called, the Pharisees, they said the name was too holy to be uttered, and they took it out of the scriptures over 6,800 times and replaced it with God and Lord. So isn't it funny that he said that his name shall be great? Well, what is his name? I suppose you would say Jesus, wouldn't you? But is that the Father's name? No, his name is Yahweh. And he continues in verse 12, but ye have profaned it in that ye say, the table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even this meat, is contemptible. Now, isn't it funny? Let me just, interject a little something here. The Apostle Paul says it's okay to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. Doesn't seem like the Father's too into that here, does it to you? He doesn't like his temple to be polluted. Next, verse 13, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith Yahweh of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith Yahweh? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto Yahweh a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith Yahweh of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Dreadful meaning causing fear, which is should be. This is the problem of today, ladies and gentlemen, that the heathen and the rest of the world don't fear the Father. The Jews don't, are the heathen too, and they don't fear the Father. And now they used to have respect for his children, whom we, the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian white race, we are the primary race. That has nothing to do with superiority or anything like that. It has to do with some people are sub-races and some people are real races. Some people are men and some people are not men. That's why it's such a lie saying that all people are men. It's kind of like man is a title. And not anybody can receive it. So, what we need at this point, see, it says his name shall be great among the heathen, and then it says his name shall be dreadful among the heathen. Is that a contradiction? No. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. This isn't a fear that, it's the fear of a kind father. But this father can also judge you into hell. So you've got to have respect, a respectful fear. That's what it's all about. All right, so I thought you'd be interested in that. The border of wickedness. That's what Israel over there, the fake Israel, the Israeli Israel, It's the border of wickedness. It's Edom. It's funny how they had control both in Rome and Edom. I mean, Jerusalem. Interesting because of these are the two biggest so-called religious cities in the world. And Rome is known as a heathen, I mean, a Gentile nation. Interesting, isn't it? I don't know if any good came out of Rome at all. When I read that to you about the history of Rome, I mean, weren't you kind of amazed by that? I think Rome was also the border of wickedness. My, my, that wind is a-blowing. All right, so in this particular book we're in, The Red Network, we're on page 23. And it says the ICKY section must be entirely composed of American citizens who must conform themselves strictly to instructions from Moscow. Clarence Hathaway of the Central Committee of the Party spoke 1 hour, January 21st, 1934, at the Chicago Coliseum on Leninist policies for seizure of power, and said they already had men in the Army and Navy ready to turn their guns on their officers and the capitalist class, quote-unquote, as they did in the Russian Revolution. I hope you heard that. And turn any war into Red Revolution. He emphasized, let me say this too, this idea of the Reds. Did you know that many of the stage curtains, I don't know how many, but I noticed that in memory, the stage curtains were often red. Do you ever think about that? Red Skelton is one of the strangest people that you'll ever see. And this fellow is a Shriner, so he's chock full of demons. And the funny thing is, if when you watch Red Skelton, and when he's not paying attention to what he's doing, he makes weird hand things, like as if the demons don't have five fingers, like they have like claws, and he makes these weird, I don't think he realizes he's even doing this. It's real bizarre. And according to Jew Watch, Red Skelton, Red, is a Jew. That was according to Jew Watch. But at least I know he was definitely pro-homosexual, like all Freemasons are. And, of course, pro-race, too. And just very strange. If you ever watch the Red Skelton show, you know, in color or whatever, and you see that, or even in black and white, instead of looking at his face, watch his hands as he's doing these movements. You'll see what I'm talking about. It is bizarre. It's like he doesn't have hands. He has lobster claws or something weird. It's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So anyway, back to what we're talking about. He emphasized the point that we must be ready and prepared to destroy everyone who puts up any struggle against us. These are communists speaking. An audience of 10,000 Reds cheered him and booed the American flag as it was paraded up and down the aisles by men dressed as U.S. soldiers, led by a man dressed to represent a capitalist holding a big yellow bag with a dollar mark on it. A huge red flag was then dropped from the top of the stage, and the audience applauded enthusiastically. So imagine that in the theaters and all the different places they would play these types of things, that they would use red curtains, you know, red stage curtains. And people would know the meaning, you see? It's funny how things are right in front of us all the time. So it says the Red Army in the USA, now recruiting fighters to train for bloody revolutionary action. Red Front, quote unquote, the monthly publication for the Red Army in the USA, is published by the Central Executive Committee, Red Front Fighters League of USA, 95 Ave B, New York City. The November 1933 issue was distributed at the Communist Mass Meeting of November 7, 1933 at the Chicago Coliseum and is headlined Mobilization. Notice that Chicago is huge for communism and Jewry and the Mafia. No, not Italian people. Italian people who have Jewish blood, Arab blood, and Negro blood running through their veins. After the telling of the need for fighting fascism in the USA, it says, to quote from page one, "We revolutionary workers who at all strikes, demonstrations, and picket lines have a share in the tear gas and the clubs of capitalistic lackeys are also not more anxious for terrorism and beatings without returning them their due. We live in a new time when any day may be the beginning of the struggle. We Red Front comrades have a great responsibility," emphasis in original. "They have a great responsibility in winning over the unemployed for the fight against hunger and frost and to open food storage places." Now let me stop right there. You talk about contradictions and hypocrisy. These people are just absolute liars. What have I told you several times before? That during the Russian Revolution, the world was sending food over there to help the people, and the Jews were making sure that the food never got to the people. Same thing in the U.S. during the Great Depression. And these Reds are trying to say, in other words, they keep food from their own people in Russia, and then listen to this. "We Red Front comrades have a great responsibility in winning over the unemployed for the fight against hunger and frost." Sure you do. "And to open food storage places. New methods for the defense of strikers must be discovered. At the same time, the question of anchoring the Red Front in different factories and shops, railroads, etc., are of the greatest importance. The dashing to pieces of the whole apparatus of government is in this period of revolutionary uprising, thus easier to accomplish." Emphasis applied. On page 8, it says, what is the Red Front? The Red Front is composed of workers and farmers as poor, downtrodden, and exploited as proletarians of all other working parties and organizations. With Red Front against hunger regime, with Red Front for a socialist Soviet Republic of America, comrades, decide on which front you are willing to fight. The fist. How many times have you seen the fist, the Red Front emblem, is a symbol of irreconcilable battle. Sorry, I couldn't spit that one out quick enough. And on page 7, join our ranks. The Chicago Red Front is the section of the Red Front Fighters League, an international workers' defense organization. Send in your applications to Red Front, care, Young Communist League, room 707, 101, South Wells Street, Chicago. Join the Red Front or anti-fascist action. Can you say Antifa? That's one of your red fronts right there. Yeah. That's why the Jews are pro-Antifa. Did you notice that? And the leaders are often Jews. Is there no sedition law in the USA? Must citizens now simply train themselves in target practice to combat these revolutionaries bent on seizing plants, as at Austin, Minnesota's farmers' produce and private property? At this writing, Litvinov, the arch conspirator and bank robbery aide who represents these, our would-be red assassins, is being feted and dined by President Roosevelt, as an honored guest in our American White House. Communist Party and Religion. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, quote-unquote, Revelation 17:5, is the world's first government to raise the flag of absolute hatred and enmity to God Almighty, to Yahweh. It not only makes no secret of its satanic Marxian atheism, but finances and boastfully backs immoral sects and militant atheist movements the world over. In addition to surpassing the worst days of pagan Rome in its wholesale murder, persecution, and exile of the Russian Christians, it endeavors to kill the souls of the young generation by prohibiting all teaching of God to children, by urging children to publicly disown non-atheist parents, by urging parents to turn over children to atheist state control, by blaspheming God and Jesus Christ always and everywhere in the communist press, in plays, in anti-religious parades and pageants, and in nauseous cartoons planted in former churches. Its birth control societies there in and in America are for the purpose of facilitating immorality and encouraging promiscuity and the abolition of Christian marriage. That was a mouthful right there. Let me go back over this a little bit so that we can see what it says. Who today boastfully backs immoral sex? Why, the Jews. Who are the Jews? They're the communists. They created communism, this idealistic movement that doesn't translate to reality. Now, what did I just say about Rome? What did I just say to you, that it's very possible that Rome is Edom, because in the Talmud, the rabbis call Rome Edom, and the father told you that he laid the mountains of Esau, Mount Seir, waste, and that the dragons would live there. Now, that doesn't mean that the Jews would live there anymore. It means that it was laid waste. They no longer live in Mount Seir. So they had to go somewhere. So listen exactly what it says just here, because isn't it funny how this keeps coming up? In addition to surpassing the worst days of pagan Rome, hello, and in its wholesale murder, persecution, and exile of Russian Christians, it endeavors to kill the souls of the young generation. Now, let me stop right there. The father is absolutely blowing my mind. I mean, always. You see, this, what it's talking about here, just tells you that what happened in Soviet Russia is the same evil that happened in Rome. The Romulans. With pointed ears. Half-breeds. Not men. Now, listen. It endeavors to kill the souls of the young generation by prohibiting all teaching of God to children. Now, what did I just tell you about the vaccine? The vaccine is to kill you and make you so that you will not think about spiritual things, that you'll only go by the physical world and what you feel, and you'll live by your feelings. Like Tommy. Tommy, can you hear me? Can you feel me near you? Tommy, can you see me? Can I hope to cheer you, Tommy? Feelings, see? I'm a sensation. So these vaccines are to be given to young children, and this is possibly what has happened already. In other words, when they start telling you about, hey, you know, this was talked about in 1917. So when you go to my site and see this article, this relates to just what it's saying right here. This is blowing my mind. I don't plan these things. The Father knows about them. You see what I mean? You must appreciate the Father, and all glory to Him, because I'm not doing it. I'm not planning it out. This is amazing what was just read in this paragraph here. I'm going to continue it, right? So let me just kind of do it again so that we get this solidified. That the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and it's called here in quotations, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. See, these abominations happen at different places. They're going to try to make the abomination happen here in America and do what they did in Rome and do what they did in France and do what they did in Russia and Armenia, etc., and Germany, etc., etc., etc. So it says, it's the world's first government to raise the flag of absolute hatred and enmity to the Father Almighty, to Yahweh Almighty. It not only makes no secret of its satanic Marxian atheism, but finances and boastfully backs immoral sex and militant atheist movements the world over. I hope you're hearing. In addition to surpassing the worst days of pagan Rome, it surpassed the worst days of pagan Rome. Can you imagine? In its wholesale murder, persecution, and exile of Russian Christians, it endeavors to kill the souls of the young generation by prohibiting all teaching of God to children. Don't we have that here in America? Don't homeschool your children. That could be bad for them. They could learn and have believe in God. Remember I just read that on the news? Another thing. So they want to prohibit all the teaching of God to children. Has anything changed? This is back in 1936 she wrote this. I believe it is. 36, I'm pretty sure. And they'll prohibit all teaching of God to children by urging children to publicly disown non-atheist parents, by urging parents to turn over children to atheist state control, which is what we have in our school system and our colleges, correct? Marxist professors, etc., etc. Are we connecting some serious dots right now? Remember Hillary Clinton, the sick-minded, demon-filled Jewess? She was talking about how we need to take the children away from the parents earlier now and get them into preschool. Remember? Why do you think she wants to do that? Because they want to make them atheists. They want to make them haters. They want to make them lesbians, transvestites, queers, all kinds of things, witches. So, by urging parents to turn over children to an atheist state control, by blaspheming God and Jesus Christ always, right, like they do, and everywhere in the communist press, in plays. Remember Larry David urinating on the picture of Jesus? And that was funny on the show? I didn't watch the show. I just read about it at one point. But do you remember that? See, again, they're obsessed with urine. You see? So, by blaspheming God and Jesus Christ always and everywhere in the communist press. You know what that is, right? That's your mainstream media. That's your Hollywood. That's your papers, your magazines, etc., etc. In plays, in anti-religious parades, like the queer LGBT parades. You see, those people that are in those parades, let me just explain this to you, are glorying in sin. They're waving their sin for the world to see and saying, see, I'm a proud sinner. I don't obey Yahweh in heaven. Who cares about him? I have no respect for him. They're all queers and lesbians. And you know who's with those parades? People like Romney, people like Cuomo, you know, all these different people are busy in these parades with the queers. They support this. See, they're saying to, they're shoo-shooing and saying to the Father in heaven, you know, giving him the middle finger, so to speak, and probably literally giving him the middle finger. And they're proud to be queer. You see? They're proud to be corrupted. See, so that's what it says in anti-religious parades and pageants and in nauseous cartoons placed in former churches. It's birth control societies, Planned Parenthood. Are we Lincoln? Are we Lincoln or are we Washington? Yeah, we're linking them up. Lincoln, another Jew too. A.A. Springs's son. Its birth control societies there and in America are for the purpose of facilitating immorality and encouraging promiscuity and the abolition of Christian marriage. Oh, do we have that today? Do we have it, ladies and gentlemen? Why, we do. Who wants to destroy the family? Why, it's the Jew. The Jewluminati. Right? I just heard something in the last couple of weeks about now how this thing is designed also to destroy the family. Are we connecting? You know, one little thing I'd like to say too is this, as Mr. T-Rump is smiling at the people saying, oh, I'm helping the people. See, but none of the people, none of our people are getting any of that money in the sense of the small business money was eaten up by big corporations that didn't need the money. So while they tried to play like, hey, we're helping the real Americans, the grassroots Americans, it didn't happen, folks. And now they just approved, Mr. T-Rump just approved another $500 billion, just under $500 billion. And which, you know, goes right on to the fake national debt. But nevertheless, Mr. T-Rump's probably trying to beat Obama in spending the most. But you see, the excuse, he'll have an excuse. So he won't be the bad guy. You'll blame the COVID-19 virus on this, see? You see how it all works, how it all gets, the play is played for the people? Listen to this. Communism blasphemes not only against the Son of Man, quote unquote, in all churches, but against the Divine Spirit under any name or form whatever, it says. I heard Neil H. Ness of the sinister Russian OGPU speak at the Radical Seven Arts Club in Chicago. The Radical Seven Arts Club. the seven muses. Oh, I think it was nine muses, though. Nine. On October 14, 1933, his outstanding boasts were that Soviet Russia, in 15 years under communism, had risen to first place as the greatest military power in the world, and that godless Russia, quote-unquote, had done more in 15 years than Christianity had in 1900. He said that he had been often asked about promiscuity in Russia, and that in reply he would say that it had been his observation that ladies of shame, quote-unquote, had all turned good Bolsheviks after the revolution and were now handing out their commodity in a comradely manner. How quaint. Truly his accomplishment, or this accomplishment, of changing vice from a segregated commercialized pursuit to a free and general habit in something Christianity has not achieved in 19 centuries. Nor have the savages in thousands of years. They are less degenerate. The Church and the Workers is pamphlet number 15 in the series of international pamphlets published for the Communist Party use. Who would publish these? Would they be Anglo-Saxon people? There might be a few there, but who owns all the publishing houses, folks? It proudly says in this pamphlet, "The Soviet Union, under a workers' and peasants' government, is the only country in the world where religion and the churches are being combated with the active cooperation of the government." They're being combated. As militant materialists, the Soviet leaders are uncompromising in their scientific and atheist position. It is scientific and atheist. Scientific. Show me the proof. You know, the Pharisees were very scientific. They wanted proof because they didn't have any faith. They didn't believe anything. In other words, show me the proof. See? Scientific and atheist position. It is necessary to link the fight against the church and religion with the fight against capitalism and imperialism. As long as capitalism exists, religion and the churches will be used. In the United States, so what they're saying is that capitalism is evil because not only is it evil for all the other reasons, but it's evil because the churches and religion will be allowed to survive in the capitalist society. Whereas in the communist society, there will be no churches or religions. You see? Is it becoming clearer? You see what I mean with thesis, antithesis, and now we have a synthesis of both of them? In the United States, as in all capitalist countries, the churches, by developing law-abiding citizens through the appeal to fear of an avenging God, and they used the word God as a non-capital, became part of the repressive apparatus equally with the police, the army, the prisons, for the purpose of attempting to prevent rebellion. As the anti-religious campaign in the Soviet Union succeeds, the religious forces of the world are organizing and supporting interventionalist movements to destroy the workers' state. A militant workers' anti-religious movement must be organized, unquote, etc. Nice little pamphlet, ain't it? In the official communist Chicago newspaper, Workers' Voice, quote-unquote, of March 1st, 1933, was an article by Joseph Stalin. That's Uncle Joe. Dear Uncle Joe, the communist Jew. Yes, he's a Jew. We read about it. They try to say he's not a Jew and that he married a Jew woman. No, he's a Jew too. Just because he went against the Jews doesn't mean anything. Power is power, and Jews will kill Jews for power or to stay in power. Just look at Rome, what was going on there too. So this article was by Uncle Joe. dictator of Russia, entitled Communists and Religion, in which he says, quote, "The party cannot be neutral towards religion and does not conduct anti-religious propaganda against all and every religious prejudice. The party cannot be neutral toward the bearers of religious prejudices, toward the reactionary clergy who poison the minds of the toiling masses." Poison. Well, he's kind of right. With the Jewish version of Christianity, they really are poisoning the mind of the toiling masses, aren't they? Have we suppressed the reactionary clergy? Yes, we have, says Uncle Joe. The unfortunate thing is that it has not been completely liquidated. You know what that means? That it's not just a suppression. It's to kill, to liquidate. You know what that means? Anti-religious propaganda is a means by which the complete liquidation of the reactionary clergy must be brought about, says Uncle Joe. Cases occur when certain members of the party hamper the complete development of anti-religious propaganda. If such members are expelled, it's a good thing because there is no room for such communists in the ranks of our party. No room for any religious people. See, communism is godless. Great placards with the words of Marx, "Religion is the opium of the people," are widely displayed in Russia. The ABC of Communism by N. Bukharin and E. Preobrashensky. Wow, I laid that right out. In a standard work for the use in the Communist Party schools, it says, quote, "Religion and communism are not compatible." Excuse me. Let me read that again. "Religion and communism are incompatible." Are you listening? I'll say it again. "Religion and communism are incompatible." Who are the communists? The Jews. Remember I told you that Judaism is not a religion? Remember that Rabbi Wise says communism is Judaism? Now let's connect those dots. You heard the equation. If communism is Judaism and religion and communism are incompatible, then how can Judaism be a religion? See, that's what I'm telling you. I can prove these things. You see? Judaism, I told you, it's a worldwide criminal cartel in the guise of a religion. Because there's so many advantages you can take in the world by pretending you're a religion. Not only tax-wise, but respect-wise, etc., etc., etc. You see? So again, let me hit you with the equation. Rabbi Wise, the Jew, communist Jew, said that communism is Judaism. And it says here with Uncle, this N. Bukharin and E. Preobrashensky, in a standard work for the use in Communist Party schools, it says religion and communism are incompatible. So therefore, Judaism is not religion. And he continues, "Religion is the opium of the people," said Karl Marx. "It is the task of the Communist Party to make this truth comprehend this truth." You see what I mean? How that's not truth, is it? That religion is the opium of the people? See, opium is looked at as a drug, right? It's the drug. It's the opiate of the people. There's a Jew wrote a book like that called "Religion is the Opiate of the People." I have it. "It is the task of the Communist Party to make this truth comprehensible to the widest circles of the laboring masses. It is the task of the party to impress firmly upon the minds of the workers," impress firmly upon the minds of the workers, "even upon the most backward, that religion has been in the past and still is today one of the most powerful means at the disposal of the oppressors for the maintenance of inequality. exploitation and slavish obedience, slavish obedience on the part of the toilers. Many weak-kneed communists read as follows. Religion does not prevent my being a communist. I believe both in God and communism. My faith in God does not hinder me from fighting for the cause of the proletarian revolution. This train of thought is radically false. Religion and communism are incompatible. Again, they reiterate that. Both theoretically and practically. And the author says, to this I agree. Now, I could just imagine what's going on in your mind right now. I really wonder. We're on page 25 here. We didn't make, 26, excuse me. We didn't make it very far, did we? But I'll tell you, we certainly connected a serious, serious amount of dots, didn't we? Can you imagine what you just heard and everything? And we have adopted all the 10 planks of the Communist Party here in America, and it was all done by something like 1964 or something. See, our school system is one of the planks. It's a government-regulated school system. You see, it's godless. Like the devil in the world. You know, I usually give a piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole. Consider giving a donation at davidjamesboston.com today.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lives that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man. A man without